Good evening. Welcome to the Portland City Council chambers. We're glad that you're here. Today is Thursday, July 29th, 2010. It is 6 p.m. We have three items on the agenda tonight, but before I ask Carla, our council clerk, to call the roll, I just wanted to go through some of the expectations of the chamber. We will not be allowing clapping tonight. If you like something, and there's no hanging over the railing because security gets really, really concerned about the safety of people below, although I see you two, completely safe. If you like something, you can put the thumbs up. If you don't like something, you can put the thumbs down. But no clapping, no cheering, no hooting, because we want everyone to feel comfortable to say whatever it is they have to say while sitting up here, okay? This is a debate and discussion chamber, and so we want everyone, regardless of whether you agree or not, to feel comfortable. Signs cannot cover your face, so that sign is perfect. Thank you. Signs on your chest, yay. Signs higher up block the view behind you, and when you come testify, how many people do we have signed up?
I don't have this sheet yet, sorry.
Okay, we'll establish the sign up for the amount of time everyone has to testify as soon as we get the sheets in. I have a feeling a lot of people have signed up. So the normal speaking time is 3 minutes. We have found that what can be said adequately in 3 minutes can actually be said better in 2 minutes. This is years of scientific evaluation, but we will wait and see. Is someone going to get the sign-up sheet? Great. What else? We want your first name and your last name, and if you are authorized to represent an organization or a business, we want you to disclose that as well as part of our lobbying disclosure rules here in the city. We do not want your address. So just your first and last name. If you're here testifying on your own behalf, you just your first and last name. The clock on that piece of wood up there will help you count it down. Now we're going to try to, we're going to keep the upfront explanation of what we're reviewing today to a minimum. We're going to have the committee that has been working hard on this for 18 months. We're going to let those members come up and say their piece in 1 or 2 minutes, and then we're going to move right to public testimony. We're going to try to alternate between pro and con and questions about the resolution before us today and alternate between the two. We're trying to keep the upfront formalities as short as possible so we can get to public testimony as quickly as possible, but we do want to make sure that everyone in the room has a basic understanding of what we're considering today. Have I used up enough time, Carla, to 1 minute, please? Okay.
93.
Total. Let's see, 3 minutes each. That's 3 a.m. we're going to go with 2 minutes, and as the night wears on, we might even shorten it more than that. We know this is an issue of great importance, and we're really glad that you've taken the time to be here. We'll try to manage that with the amount of time we have this evening to sort of take it all in. Carla, we need to dispense with one item before we move. Oh, please call the roll.
Saltzman?
Here.
Leonard? Fritz?
Here.
Fish?
Here.
Adams?
Here. The quorum is present. We shall proceed. I understand we have an item we need to carry over, unrelated to the issue of Hayden Island, to carry over to next week. Is that right?
Yes, 1098-1.
Can you please read the title for 1098-1?
Authorize an intergovernmental agreement with TriMet to provide transit police services.
Unless there is objection from any member of the City Council, this will be carried over to the regular agenda next week. So done. We are going to take testimony on both items. They're related, so can you please read the title for time certain items number 1100 and 1101?
Yes, 1100, accept the West Hayden Island Community Working Group report to Portland City Council dated July 29, 2010. Item 1101, direct the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability to develop legislative proposal for annexation of West Hayden Island to the city with the intent to protect at least 500 acres as open space and identify no more than 300 acres for future marine terminal development.
So I'd like to recognize Mr. Engstrom and Ms. Squire.
Thank you, Mayor. Oh, that's loud. Thank you, Mayor Adams. I'm going to try and jet through my presentation as quickly as possible so we can get on to public testimony. Carla, do we have the PowerPoint up? So tonight, as the mayor indicated, we are going to, I'm going to summarize very briefly the key findings of the foundation studies that have been done. I'm going to turn it over to Ann Squire to report on the community working group's work, and then we will consider the mayor's resolution on how to proceed. As many of you know, this project has been broken into two phases, divided by this resolution. In phase one, we worked with built foundation studies, and then which were focused on identifying whether it's feasible to accommodate a mix of uses on the island. That includes deliberations in June and July and now. If the resolution is passed, we would continue with concept planning and future consideration of annexation and application of city zoning. This is a picture of the island, just to orient you. On the north side is the Columbia River, the south side, the Oregon Slough. To the south is also the Port of Portland Terminal 6, and on the north, the Port of Vancouver. You'll see a couple utility corridors that bisect the site both north, south, and east-west. And the gray area there is an existing dredge material management area that's authorized by the Corps of Engineers. The railroad is just the stripe to the right side of the site. A couple key environmental features of the site. It provides key habitat for migrating birds and other species of concern. There's a large forest stand on the site. The shallow water around the island is extremely significant for juvenile salmon, and Metro has identified it as a habitat conservation area. Just a few quick pictures here to orient you. A couple key economic features of the site. It's located adjacent to the Columbia River shipping channel between the Port of Portland and Port of Vancouver. It has proximity to rail, interstate freeways, and airport. The parcel size provides flexibility for different types of marine terminals, and Metro designated as a regionally significant industrial land. And these are just some photos of their surrounding industry.
Could I pause you for a second?
Mm-hmm.
I've been informed by security that we're in violation of the fire code. And so Lovejoy, which is on this floor that I'm sitting, and on which side of the building? I can't remember.
West.
Lovejoy's that side.
It's on this side of the building here. If you do not have a seat or you're sitting in the aisle, I apologize, but the fire marshal requires me to ask you to go to Lovejoy where we have a TV set up. So what we'll be doing is we'll be calling the three that are coming up and then the three after them. So you should have time to either come down from the balcony or come over from Lovejoy. If we call you and you're still on your way over, we'll feather you in to make sure that you don't lose your place in line. Sorry for the inconvenience. So if you're standing up there, I need you to move. You as well. Anyone around the back? Again, sorry for the inconvenience, but I need you to move to Lovejoy. And I'll make announcements that you'll hear on the closed circuit TV if we have chairs that open up in here, as we tend to do as the night goes on, so that you can come in. All right. One moment, please. There you go. Or you can get more cozy.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, love your neighbors. That's right. All right, Mr. Engstrom, please continue.
The community working group, the charge for that group was to advise City Council on how marine industrial habitat and recreational uses might be reconciled on West Hayden Island, and if they determined that the mix of uses is possible, to recommend a preferred concept plan. This list on the screen are the members of the community working group, including the chair Ann Squire sitting to my left. We also had a technical advisory pool whose charge was to provide technical information to the staff, the port, and the community working group. They have assisted to refine the consultant's scope of work and review the foundation studies. This is a list of organizations that were invited to participate in the technical advisory pool. I do want to note that a number of these agencies did not participate based on budget and staffing shortfalls through the year, and a couple dropped out during that process. But these were the organizations invited. So in summary, we've completed a set of foundation studies. The community working group met for over a year to help us work through those foundation studies, and the technical advisory pool reviewed and commented on the studies. I want to briefly mention that process of how the studies were reviewed, because I know that's an item of concern for some folks. What happened is the consultants drafted each chapter separately and then presented those to both the TAP and the CWG for their comments. The TAP comments were given to the CWG, and then we also collected and collated all the comments from the TAP in a report. After that was done, then the consultant was given those comments, and the city staff worked through those comments with the consultant and produced another draft. So some members of both the TAP and the CWG would have preferred, I think, that there were more iterations of that review process, but the budget that we had and the scope of work we had allowed for one iteration of review and comment and then report. Some key findings. The first economic finding was that the marine manufacturing and port-related activities do contribute significantly to the region's economy. We looked at cargo forecasts showing what the growth rates have been over the last 50 years and what the projections are for that. We noted that ship size and train size is getting larger, which affects the viability of site design for marine terminals, and that was one significant factor of discussion. And on that note, Portland is a major hub of train traffic, and that is one of the, we have a lot of train infrastructure here, and that's one of the primary attributes of this site, is its proximity to that existing infrastructure. This is a diagram, which I apologize if it's hard to see, but it was an example of one of the straw man diagrams of a train configuration on the site and how the mechanics of that might work. And the CWG looked at a number of these kind of drawings to try and understand what were the issues and conflicts between the industrial potential development and habitat. I mentioned the train facilities again, and this is just an image of Terminal 5, I believe, of the ports, showing a couple train loops. And those train loops, to accommodate a full large train, was an important design consideration in this process. Our findings included a finding that there were no other vacant sites on the waterfront large enough to accommodate those rail needs. There are 11 vacant sites over 5 acres in the Portland Harbor and no sites larger than 60 acres. We estimated that a terminal of 300 acres would create more than 1,000 jobs, which would generate more than $20 million in tax revenue for the state in income taxes. And those jobs do include both direct jobs as well as indirect and induced jobs. This is a map of the Portland Harbor, including a number of sites that were examined for suitability as alternative sites. A key factor here is when we look at land supply for industrial land, we look at a couple different types of land. We look at public terminal needs. We look at the needs for private terminals and private firms such as Gunderson or Schnitzer Steel. And then we also look at the needs of firms that need to be proximate to those kind of firms in order to operate. And so that whole collection bundles together into our examination of industrial land needs. Some key environmental findings. West Hidden Island provides extremely high-quality habitat, in part because of its location near the confluence of the Columbia and Willamette River and because of its size and proximity to other natural areas. It includes more than 5 miles of critical shoreline habitat for salmon, as well as significant cottonwood ash stands. Excuse me. It provides nesting and stopover opportunities for migratory birds. We found that habitat patch size is a key limiting factor for wildlife, and so that was one of the key things we were trying to balance with the industrial site design needs, was ensuring a large, contiguous, remaining, essentially, piece of habitat and trying to avoid fragmentation of that habitat. We also looked at the economic benefits of maintaining the natural area or enhancing it over time as is, and found that there were significant economic benefits as well to a natural area in an urban setting such as West Hayden Island, even without development. We also found that there was opportunity for enhanced economic services through restoration activities such as channel habitat enhancements, revegetation, and wetland enhancements. It's also, I think, true that a site of this size and a forest of this age is difficult to replace through mitigation. This is a map of some of the habitat patches on West Hidden Island. The green is forest, the yellow is shrub, the light blue is shallow water habitat, the dark blue with stripes are the wetlands, and then the crosshatched area is the sandy area of fill that roughly corresponds to the dredge material placement site. This was a drawing prepared by Parametrics, which was a study of what are the enhancement opportunities for the natural environment on the site if marine terminal development did not proceed. And I can go into that in more detail if there are questions. I'm also aware that a number of public comments have come in about the wetland or the floodplain impacts of this development. And so this map shows you in blue the portions of the site that are above the 32-foot floodplain elevation. So mainly what you see there are along the south side of the site, a number of essentially rock piles that were created early in the last century as part of the dredging and reconfiguration of the Oregon Slough. And then on the north side, in the northeast portion, you see essentially the area that corresponds to the dredge material placement. I'm going to conclude with this slide, which just shows the habitat patches overlaid with one of the rail loops that the CWG looked at in their deliberations. And it just illustrates some of the conflicts that we addressed and discussed in the community working group and with the TAP.
What's the acres of that rail loop site?
That industrial footprint would be on the order of magnitude of, I think, around 400 acres if you include the bridge and the access roads and things like that. So what the mayor's resolution proposes would have to be smaller than this footprint, I think. The site as a whole is about just over 800 acres, and the shallow water surrounding it is another couple hundred acres in addition to that. And that concludes my formal presentation. I know I'll be back up for questions later.
Chair Squire.
Thank you, Mayor Adams, council members. My name is Ann Squire, and I had the, characterize it as you wish, the burden or the honor of chairing this group. And I want to simply present the group's report this evening. With your indulgence, I'd start by thanking and recognizing the members of the group who did hang in through 17 months of pretty frustrating work in an effort to come to a meaningful recommendation. Many of those people are here this evening, and they have my gratitude, and they deserve yours as well. Your charge, as Eric mentioned to the group, was to determine whether the competing planning designations for West Hayden Island can be reconciled so that you have a significant asset for both industrial and natural resource values. It's worth repeating once more the exact charge: to advise City Council on how marine industrial habitat and recreational uses might be reconciled on West Hayden Island. And if the CWG determines that a mix of uses is possible on West Hayden Island, to recommend a preferred concept plan. Thus, we were not charged with deciding whether particular uses should be accommodated, but whether they could be accommodated. A fine point, but a very important point. The short answer is that your community working group could not agree that it is possible to reconcile marine industrial and habitat uses on West Hayden Island. Process-wise, at an early meeting, the CWG adopted a modified consensus framework to govern its deliberations. And this, again, is an important point because as a citizen advisory group, it did need to set the process it would use for reaching a recommendation. And under that procedure, a recommendation would require a 75% would require 75% or more of the group present to concur with a proposal. If that were not possible, the procedure said that the issue was to be deferred for later consideration or, as a last resort, deferred to another forum for resolution, keeping all options on the table. That's where we are tonight. We're before another forum. The group agreed to a set of principles that guided our evaluations, and I think they're worth reading through. A good multiple-use option would need to provide for a net increase in ecosystem function, a positive contribution to regional economic health, an economically viable port facility, a positive contribution to regional economic health. I'm sorry, I repeated. A positive contribution to the local community, an addition to, not competition with, the regional port system, public access opportunities on West Hayden Island, a sustainable scale for any use included as part of the option, flexibility to accommodate the unknown future, taking advantage of the unique aspects and opportunities of the site, consideration of impacts on current mid-range and future time periods, and on local, sub-regional, and regional geographies. 15 of the 16 members of the group were present at our decision meeting on June 15th. After hearing from the public, CWG worked in three small groups to attempt to answer questions about what the minimum footprint would be necessary ecologically and in terms of a viable port facility, using those principles as evaluation mechanisms. And to answer the question whether there is potential for a multi-use concept, and if so, can the habitat and ecosystem values be mitigated? At the end of that process, we compared the findings of each subgroup, and discussion continued until the group was at a point where it needed to decide the core question, which is a predicate for any further work. The core question being whether a mix of marine industrial and habitat uses can be reconciled on West Hayden Island. The outcome, 8 members felt that it was possible to reconcile a mix of meaningful port development and habitat values, 6 members felt it was not possible, and 1 member abstained. And again, looking back to the procedures, it would have required 11 from among the 15 possible votes to concur with a proposal for it to become a formal recommendation to the City Council. This may seem a fine point, but I want people to understand that the members purposely selected this modified consensus process, so we can't cast the decision as a majority-minority, but as an inability to reach a recommendation to you. The group did reach a number of points of commonality. Absent consideration of other uses and values, West Hayden Island is ideal for marine terminal development because it offers a large unencumbered site with deep water and rail access nearby. All habitat types represented on West Hayden Island are of high regional importance. West Hayden Island's location at the confluence of the Willamette and Columbia Rivers, as well as its size and the complexity of habitat types on the island, increase its habitat values. Port studies conclude that an economically viable port facility would require a minimum of 350 to 400 acres, not including the acreage associated with an extra bridge or any roads. The core of success for port development will be adequate rail service. The in-water facilities concept in the port studies appears to minimize impacts on shallow water habitat and functions. Any workable rail layout under the above constraints would remove about half of the existing forest habitat on West Hayden Island and would create more edge habitat and less interior habitat on the remaining lands. Edge habitat does not support the needs of many species as well as does interior habitat. Mature cottonwood ash stands are a finite resource in the lower Columbia and cannot be readily replaced through mitigation. According to studies and metro documents, there is a shortage of large lot undeveloped industrial sites in the Portland area UGB. West Hayden Island was brought into the Metro UGB in 1983 for marine industrial uses. Since then, much has been learned about decline of species supported by West Hayden Island, particularly salmonids, neotropical bird migrants, turtles, and frogs. In 2004, Metro designated West Hayden Island as a regionally significant industrial area. In 2005, as a regionally significant habitat conservation area. In 2009, Metro included a portion of West Hayden Island in the 20-year land supply for future industrial use. And finally, it is desirable to emphasize train and ship transportation as a matter of sustainability. I'd like to summarize the fundamental differences. I think I can do that without running past 10 minutes. And these are all in more detail in your reports. Fundamental differences that we found we were focusing on were the fact that the CWG was not able to define a minimum footprint necessary to support ecologically viable habitat and ecosystem services on West Hayden Island. The foundational studies established that the ecosystem values lie in its size, location, and complex mosaic of high-value habitat types. Also established that interior habitat is higher value than edge habitat. Mitigation would be required for many of the habitat losses due to development. Members differ in their views of what is necessary for an economically viable and going back to the principle, a sustainable scale port facility, which is very important to keep that sustainability in mind, on West Hayden Island. Some agree with port study conclusions that an economically viable port facility would require a minimum of 350 to 400 acres, plus the acreage necessary for a bridge or local road access. Others sought more information on new techniques to shrink port footprints and other options for fulfilling projected port activity growth. Members also differed in their views of the likelihood of a mixed-use scenario making a positive contribution to regional economic health. A full two-terminal development would generate several hundred new family wage jobs and associated state and local benefits, as well as the substantial indirect economic benefits and jobs that accrue when new port jobs are created. However, those benefits would need to be balanced against losses in ecosystem function, costs of infrastructure, and similar items. Projections for the value of ecosystem function on the high side are about $4.7 million annually, but the figures do not include the value of West Hayden Island for recreation, mitigation, or other uses should development not occur. CWG does not have data quantifying the monetary value of ecosystem services that would be lost if marine terminal development proceeds on acreages such as I mentioned. Finally, CWG does not have information on the regional economic benefits of additional marine terminal activity elsewhere in the near vicinity of Portland. That's the summary that I wanted to present. I thank you for your time, and I'll be available for questions, but I know you have a number of members of the committee who would like to speak this evening.
And thank you, Chair Squire. Before we move to testimony of the committee and then public testimony, I'd like to recognize Commissioner Amanda Fritz.
Thank you, Mayor Adams. Some of you may have heard that the mayor has been out sick earlier this week, so he asked me and my staff to work with his staff on some amendments that to the resolution that respond to some of the lots and lots of input that we've received so far. And I thank hundreds of people have written in and sent comments, and you're all here tonight, and it's a testimony to the public process that the mayor has led in this subject, and that we really want to hear and respond to your concerns. So I had not nearly enough copies of my substitute resolution, so I'll just go through the amendment and then I'll move the substitute resolution. Essentially, we asked to delete one of the whereases regarding the studies that have been done about reconfiguration of existing sites in the Portland Harbor, because we address that later in a different way in the resolution of what we're going to do about it. We're asking for a needs and cost-benefit analysis to the public associated in the ongoing study. We're asking for a thorough analysis and explanation of existing marine industrial land supply, marine industrial needs in the future, and the feasibility of consolidation or expanding of existing sites to meet those needs. We have a substitute in the be it further resolved in Part C that all development associated with port marine terminal facilities, including but not limited to the terminal area, docks, railroad tracks, access roads, bridges, and multi-use utility corridors, must be included within the 300-acre footprint, which I believe is the intent of what the original resolution, but this spells it out more clearly. We change some of the language to say should be considered instead of may be considered in a number of the elements, again, to be very clear that we are looking for, if we approve this resolution tonight, that we're looking for some very specific things in the ongoing study, including that the proposal will include a report on the Endangered Species Act, Clean Water Act, Environmental Protection Agency's strategic plan in the Columbia River watershed, and the state's Estuary Partnership Management Plan, along with Federal Emergency Management Association requirements and how they may or may not be met. And then finally, the last two, again, calling out for analysis of the public cost and benefits if determined to be feasible, and making sure that we have the less than 300 acres. So that those are the amendments, and I move the substitute resolution.
So moved and seconded. And
here I have an amendment to the substitute.
Commissioner Nick Fish.
Carla, do you have the copy? This would be a new freestanding subparagraph K, which would appear on page 3 after J. And in summary, it would require that the proposal should also include an analysis of options for restoration and long-term care of the proposed natural areas, including models for financing both. And I would move that as a friendly amendment to the substitute.
Thank you, and accept that as a friendly amendment.
Okay. This will serve then, the substitution with the friendly amendment will serve as the basis of our discussion. Moving forward, Carla, can you please call the roll on the substitution motion?
Saltzman?
Aye.
Fritz?
So this again just puts it on the table for discussion. Aye.
Fish?
I want to thank the mayor and Commissioner Fritz and staff for working on the amendments, and just clarify that the friendly amendment we've added is designed to address the problem which comes up regularly in our community, which is we add to our inventory of natural areas without any way to pay for maintaining them. And at the heart of that is a question about who should own the natural areas, and also are there mechanisms, market-based or otherwise, to generate funds to actually maintain natural areas. And that's the intent of that amendment. Aye.
Adams.
Well, I want to thank Commissioner Fritz and Commissioner Fish's friendly amendments for filling the breach during my bout with strep throat. Aye. Substitution is approved with a friendly amendment. We will now turn to the committee for testimony. Are the members of the committee that served on the committee that wish to testify, please come forward. Thank you, sir. Anyone else? All right. And we will then go to, if you are in the Lovejoy room or upstairs and you are a member of the committee, please make your way to the council chamber's dais. And then from there, we will go to anyone who have young children or bored to death. And I see falling asleep over there that will then testify, and then we'll go to the sign-up sheets. Good evening and welcome to the City Council chambers. You just need to give us your first and last name. Please disclose if you're representing any particular organization, for-profit, nonprofit, and you'll have 2 minutes.
Good evening, Mayor Adams, City Commissioners, Chairwoman Squire. My name's Sebastian Deegans. I'm addressing you today as both Citizens Working Group member and the Marine Planning and Development Manager for the Port of Portland. Thank you for appointing me to the Citizens Group last year. It's given me an opportunity to work with a chairperson I greatly respect and collaborate with community leaders and excellent city staff. It's also provided me an opportunity to strongly advocate for maritime community and seaport future in the city of Portland. When it came down to a vote, I voted that a mix of uses was possible on West Hayden Island. And that's because we're already demonstrating in practice that a mix of uses can work. Recreation, nature, and an efficient container and auto terminals coexist today at T6, where the Willamette and Columbia Rivers meet. I see no reason why something similar can't be achieved at West Hayden Island. At T6, beachcombers at Kelly Point Park walk under the auto bridge, enjoying the waterfront. The riparian edge is thick and healthy. The site's stormwater passes through pervious pavement. You can't even tell that behind the trees, Portlanders are moving lots of cars inland every year. There's people fishing or water skiing before they go to work. Outside of Portland, our terminals, environmental management, and mitigation programs are recognized as examples of how to do it right. Projects such as the Toyota facility win awards. It's a certified salmon safe. Not only can a mix of uses work, a mix is already occurring on West Hayden Island. If you stand on the beach, you saw some of the pictures, it's clear it's in the middle of an active harbor. The channel's right there. The vessels are stacked up at anchor waiting for slots. All the infrastructure to support a seaport is either on site or within sight. I know it's going to be a challenge to balance the environmental and economic functions of a gateway city, but I believe that this challenge is achievable with your help together at West Hayden Island. Thank you.
Thanks, sir.
Good evening. My name is Travis Williams, and I'm Executive Director of Willamette Riverkeeper, and I'm also was appointed to the committee. I'm just going to boil this down to, I think, a couple concepts, and that is, from my perspective, and I think the perspective of many people, this is the type of natural resource that you do everything you can to protect. What we know for a fact in this case is that we have a little over 800 acres of land that is a natural area or area that could even benefit from habitat restoration over time and meet some of our very real needs for that in relation to salmon recovery and for other species. What is less certain really is how many, there have been different job numbers attached to the idea of a development here. Is it 1,500 jobs? Is it 100 jobs? It's really a speculative forecast. And so we're being asked in many ways to accept numbers that I think could greatly change over time. And we've seen examples of that throughout history. Again, we know the type of habitat that is there. You can look at the Columbia River system. You can look at the Willamette system. And the size of West Hayden Island is very meaningful, and the potential function is very meaningful. And I was looking through some of my papers today, and I found this quote that I think a lot of us have heard before. And it was given in 1967 by Governor Tom McCall in relation, in this case, to the Willamette River and all the work that had gone on in relation to restoring habitat and improving water quality. And he said we must be astute enough to see that preservation is far easier than correction. And I think that definitely applies to this case. I think there's too many times in our history where we've looked out and said, well, let's develop something. It's just the right thing to do. Oh, let's develop this. Let's develop that. And you can do an aerial flyover of the Portland area, and what jumps out at you? Resources like West Hayden Island. So let's keep that in mind.
Thank you for your testimony. Mr. Salinger.
Good evening. My name is Bob Salinger. I'm the Conservation Director for the Audubon Society of Portland, and I served on this task force. I also served on the 1999 task force when the port withdrew its application to annex and rezone the island. Due to concerns about the fact the forecasts weren't accurate and the environmental impacts were so high, and we believe that that situation still exists today. We urge you not to support any development on West Hayden Island. We believe that you have an historic opportunity to protect one of the region's most important natural areas, ensure access to nature for future generations, and enhance the city's reputation for being on the cutting edge of sustainability. We suspect that future generations are going to look back on this decision with the same reverence that they devote to other milestones in our city's evolution, such as the decision to set aside Forest Park and the decision to abandon the Mount Hood Freeway. This is really one of those critical decision junctures where we're going to decide what we really want to be in the future. The resolution's been described as a win-win and a compromise. It's not. We need to look at this parcel from a landscape scale and recognize that the vast, vast, vast majority of the floodplain around the urban river system is gone, and it's failing. We have Endangered Species Act listings. We have Clean Water Act violations. We have Superfund problems. And so when you look at it from that landscape scale, this is the last big parcel we have to protect. And it's a critical, its size, its location, and its complexity make it unique and irreplaceable. It's not something we can simply mitigate for. This isn't about jobs versus the environment. This is about finding new paths forward that are truly sustainable. And when I talk about that, I mean that we need to really look at whether this parcel makes sense from an economic basis. It's a very expensive project. It will cost over $150 million just to put in the bridge on this site. It will produce 4 jobs per acre. It's one of the most inefficient land uses we have in the city. When you consider the cost of the bridge, just the bridge alone would make each job $100,000 in infrastructure costs. There's been really no cost-benefit analysis. The jobs are entirely speculative. The city talks about 1,200 jobs, but we really don't know if that's the case. We don't even know what kind of facility is going to go in. And finally, the port has not looked at efficiency strategies. They haven't looked at opportunities to use methods that are common in Europe and Asia. In fact, the report that you have before you suggests that we're not going to look at them because this is America and we do things differently here. For a city that prides itself on sustainability, that ought to be an embarrassment. Finally, the two ports, in our opinion, still aren't working together. It's still a competitive relationship. We know they're both here tonight. They come together whenever we challenge them on this issue and claim they're working together, and then they go back and compete. And we ought to be looking for strategies that maximize the efficiency of the land base through the entire region. So we hope that you will look at these issues. We hope that you won't adopt the resolution tonight, and we hope that you'll make an historic decision to protect this in perpetuity and in its entirety.
Thank you all for your testimony. Appreciate it very much.
Thank you all for your work on the committee.
So the other members of the committee. So murmuring, bad. Thumb up, down, good. The thumb is not connected to the vocal cords under normal circumstances. So again, we want to let all points of view feel comfortable. There are a lot of people in the audience that are going to hear the murmurings, and I don't want them to feel intimidated in any way. Sir, would you like to begin?
Sure. And since we're down to 2 minutes, I've cut mine down way down, so I'll just read it.
Thanks for working with us.
Yes, no problem. Mayor Adams and Commissioners, my name is Bruce Holte. I'm a Port of Portland Commissioner and the Secretary-Treasurer of ILW Local 8 here in Portland. I am a member of the Working Family Community Group, and I want to thank you for taking on this very important issue for the future of Portland. I want to cover three things very briefly tonight. Now, how the work of the CWG should help you with your deliberation regarding a mix of usage. Why a mix of usage is possible on West Hayden Island. Why marine terminal growth ensures the city's future. The CWG worked for more than a year and a half reviewing conclusions of studies that the CWG had input into developing and modifying. It was clear from the discussions around the table that many of the members had strongly held views that were not going to be influenced by the information. This is why it didn't surprise me that we spent very little time discussing how a mix of usage could be reconciled. I believe, and I do believe, a mix of uses on West Hayden Island is possible. The island is currently zoned as MUF 19 multiple use forest by the county, which would allow for 19 acre lots of residential development, about 42 homes, or the zone allows for forest practices, of which are not subject to the limitation of the county's environmental overlay code. So from my perspective, the current zoning allows for a mix of usage today, but only a portion is needed for industrial development. The remainder can be protected and improved for habitat, creating close-in natural settings for species growth and recreational amenities to enjoy by our citizens. Wye Marine Terminal growth is critical to the city's future. Oregon is the ninth most trade-dependent state in the nation, and the Portland metro area produces $22 billion in total exports. In 2008, a share of its total economy over fifth what was produced was exported. Exports can be a key source of U.S. growth and job creations. Trade growth fuels job growth.
And I need you to wrap up.
I'm going to go real fast. And our community sits at the edge of major export market China. If we don't develop West Hayden Island in the future, our citizens will lose work like we did to the Port of Longview. I just got back from an Oregon trade mission in China, and the work is coming. Many forgot the family wage jobs that can be created and sustained if we have the land. Thank you for this very important opportunity. I urge you support of the mayor's resolution for a mix of use.
Thanks for your testimony. Good evening.
Hi. My name is Chris Hathaway. I'm the Director of Stewardship and Technical Programs for the Lower Columbia River Estuary Partnership. I was also a member of the West Hayden Island Community Working Group. The Estuary Partnership was created in 1995 by the governors of Oregon and Washington and EPA to protect and restore the Lower Columbia River. We're governed by a diverse board of directors that includes representatives from the Oregon and Washington governor's offices, EPA, NOAA, the City of Portland, ports, and others. Our organizational approach is science-based, collaborative, and focused on positive actions that can be implemented to protect and restore the Lower Columbia River. We are not an activist organization. As such, we have never campaigned for or against a project or testified in front of this or any other city council in our study area until today. The Estuary Partnership believes West Hayden Island's highest and best purpose lies in its conservation and restoration and its ability as an intact 800-plus acre main stem Lower Columbia River island to provide ecological benefits to the region's residents, fish, and wildlife, particularly the 13 species of salmonids listed as threatened or endangered under the Federal Endangered Species Act. No one should question the island's ecological uniqueness within a developed landscape, its value to threatened and endangered fish species, and the value and importance of its habitats. As the Bonneville Power Administration, the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers, the City of Portland, the Estuary Partnership, and a host of other entities and nonprofits struggle to find and implement meaningful habitat restoration projects in the Lower Columbia River to help recover salmon, we feel it is short-sighted to annex for future development 300 acres of such important habitat, as well as contrary to regional river and salmon recovery plans, such as the Estuary Partnership's management plan for the Lower Columbia River, Oregon and Washington's salmon recovery plans, and most significantly, the 2008 biological opinion on the Federal Columbia River hydropower system. We've been working hard to help BPA and the Corps meet the juvenile salmon survival requirements outlined in that biop, but the region remains well off pace. There's a growing and urgent need for additional mitigation sites as well, and West Hayden Island is perfectly sited and situated as a potential mitigation bank, providing economic benefit to the Port of Portland. In 2005, the Estuary Partnership and other environmental organizations offered to enter into negotiations with the Port of Portland to purchase West Hayden Island for conservation purposes. Today, we renew that offer. The Lower Columbia River and its habitats and species have been nearly balanced out of existence for nearly 100 years. Today, we must begin to consider the unbalanced approach we've taken for so many decades. an approach that has left us with 13 listed species, contaminants in water quality, fish and sediment, and numerous Superfund sites. The Thank Lower you. Columbia River Estuary Partnership urges you to make the truly hard decision to prioritize an undeveloped 800-acre island for the ecosystem, for fish and wildlife, and for the future generations who will undoubtedly commend you guys for taking such an important step to protect this ecological jewel.
Thank you for your testimony. Good evening.
Good evening. My name is Ray Vallone. I'm with Metro and was also a serving member of the working group, Mayor Adams, commissioners. First comment, you know how to draw a crowd. Hopefully you received the President, Metro President Bragdon's letter. I'm not going to reiterate that. I like to take a little different tact here on framing this decision. It was a difficult undertaking for the working group, as you've heard. And it wasn't a sense the charge was, could we do a mix of uses? And but it wasn't sure, and what got mixed up into it was, should we? And I think this caused a lot of problem, and I'm going to call it toggling back and forth of the participants of where were we with this kind of discussion decision. And I think that also provided a lens of how we looked at the data. It's not that both aren't legitimate concerns. It's that they became mixed up in this discussion and then the recommendation. My point is, I think the first decision that needed to be made was one more of values. So while some data was definitely helpful, the answer is not in the data. And especially in this case, we know West Hayden Island is very high habitat value, and we all knew that. Just as the same, we know that it's an excellent location for a marine terminal facility. That's known. So the question is, what do we want in our community? What do we believe has value for our community? And community obviously needs to be thought of from local all the way to city and regional. So what we saw play out was competing values, which is no surprise, of course. But it didn't move the decision-making very much. And now we're in this venue. We would have been anyway. So the council may reconsider whether a mix of uses reflects the values of our greater community or whether it's against the values of our community. It's not an easy job. I don't envy your job. To this point, however, as you know, existing policy reflects the value of balancing natural resource protection and marine facilities. My position on the could aspect of it, I didn't see enough evidence to convince me that a mix couldn't be reconciled there. And I have a couple caveats I'd like to mention. I think the port, I think it's incumbent on the port if we go forward with this for some heavy lifting. I think they need to look hard at how to confine the footprint. I think they need to avoid the shallow water habitat as much as possible and employ state-of-the-art technology if they can.
Thank you. If you want to submit your written testimony for this, appreciate your testimony.
You,
sorry to move everyone along. The next, anyone else from the committee that wishes to come forward to offer verbal comments? I am letting the committee members stray approximately 30 seconds over the 2 minutes because you have sat through months of this. And again, I'm sorry that we have to rush you along. I appreciate your service. But we have so many people signed up. So, sir, would you like to begin? Welcome back.
Thank you very much. My name is Tim Helzer. I'm the founder and chair of Friends of West Hayden Island. I'm a resident there. I'd like to bring up several issues that came to the surface in the West Hayden Island Community Working Group discussions over the last 18 months. First is minimum footprint. The really acid test that we came to about 6 weeks to 2 months ago was, to what extent can minimum sustainable footprint of wildlife habitat, industrial development, and recreation uses, how can it work? Can it work? We came to the conclusion after strenuous discussion that it was not possible as a group to come to the decision that we could recommend to council that it was possible to have mixed use on the island. 200 to 300 acres of port development is not sustainable. It is not sustainable. And I speak from experience as a management and organization development consultant worldwide. It cannot be done on 200 to 300 acres and be economically sustainable. In addition, you'll have project creep if you try to keep it to 200 to 300 acres. First, you'll move it to 4, then you'll move it to 5. Mixed use is also not possible, and it is not desirable. If you survey a broad reach of people on and off the island, you'll find that very few people who understand the issues really find it desirable to develop anything there. Next, economic benefit. The projected 1,200 jobs is highly unlikely, and I am sad for all the people who are coming here tonight to support jobs. I support jobs. I'm a resident of the state. I'd like to see more jobs here. I'd like to see more economic development, but not at the expense of West Haden Island. I appreciate the opportunity to speak to you this evening. Please do not support the proposal to develop West Haden Island.
Thank you for your testimony. Sir.
Good evening. My name is Richard Carhart. I am a resident of Haden Island. I served on the Community Working Group as a representative of the Haden Island Neighborhood Network. But the views that I am presenting tonight are my personal views. They are not the position of the Haden Island Neighborhood Network. Based on the foundation studies and other material evaluated by the Community Working Group, it is my personal opinion that mixed-use development of West Haden Island can be reconciled. The question, should mixed-use development occur, is a matter for the City Council consideration. The economic and environmental foundation studies that were commissioned by the Community Working Group are a good first step, but additional study needs to be undertaken. Specifically, the footprint size for an economically viable marine industrial facility, for a sustainable habitat area, and for appropriately sized recreational facilities that can successfully coexist with marine industrial and habitat uses must be identified. Accordingly, I support the resolution put before the Council. I am especially encouraged that the resolution specifically instructs the evaluation of opportunities for increased coordination between the Port of Portland and the Port of Vancouver. It develops an access plan for servicing the potential marine terminal facilities, the recreational facilities, and the habitat management areas, taking into consideration the potential traffic impacts on East Haden Island. The investigation of a dedicated highway bridge linking West Haden Island with Marine Drive is an important consideration. And it considers the impact of development on the residents of East Haden Island. Thank you.
Thank you for your testimony. Good evening.
Good evening. I'm Victor Vietz. I've submitted some written testimony. I'll summarize that. I'm a Haden Island resident, a retired civil engineer. I'm here to support passage of the resolution. We have a problem here in Portland. If Portland wants to continue to grow as an international port, there's no question that there's high-value environmental resources on West Haden Island. There's also, I think, no question that West Haden Island is the only remaining space in Portland for modern deep-water marine terminals that have mainline rail access. And there's no question that the demand for port facilities is going to continue to grow in the future. Finding a solution to this is a public policy issue, not a technical issue. I'm convinced that the technical skills are there to find efficient ways to solve our problems out there. There are some clarifications I'd like to suggest for your resolution. First, any terminal development on West Haden Island should be only for deep water marine cargo terminals. No other type of industrial or marine industrial development. No manufacturing facilities that need water, no refineries, only deep water marine